Hello, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Alex Wong, and I'm joined in the first segment today by Raptors 905 sideline reporter and host of Raptors Today, Savannah Hamilton. Savannah, good morning, good afternoon. How are you?
It feels like the morning. If you're getting me on at 12 p.m. on a Saturday, it's the morning still. I'm okay, though. How are you, Alex?
Always good to know that my guests are just okay. You know, that's the bar that we're striving for over here, Savannah, you know?
Yes, the bar is low.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let's set the bar really low and see how high we can go today. First of all, before we even talk about the Raptors and their 114-97 loss last night to the Indiana Pacers to wrap up their six-game road trip, I got to ask you, I was given a hard time yesterday by Will Liu and my producer, Derek, because I said I like to drink eggnog, and I like to drink eggnog in November. First of all, you know I respect all your food and beverage opinions. Well, what's your take on eggnog?
Alex, you should just see the smile on my face right now, because I'm happy that we're aligned on this. You know what? I really like where this is going. You like Big Turk, and I also like eggnog in November. I just bought my second jug of eggnog the other day.
There we go. See, I'm fist pumping right now. You can't see me because we're obviously doing this remote, but I can always count on you to be on my side on these controversial topics.
I think we're aligned.
Wow. Our producer is already making his opinions heard. But anyways, listen, as I sip from this glass of eggnog, you know, I'm also trying to get over last night's game against Indiana. Like I mentioned, 114-97 loss. The Raptors finished their road trip 2-4. They now come home 9-11 on the season.
Yep.
Man, it would have just been so nice if they came home 10-10, 500, had this seven-game homestand. Did last night's loss bother you in any way?
Of course it did. I never like seeing a team lose, especially the team that I'm covering lose. You know, it would have been nice to see them go 3-3 on the road, or, you know, like just round it all out. But that's not the case, obviously. I think it was a valuable trip in terms of learning. But, you know, we're a quarter way through the season now. Like, this is when it starts to get real. Like, there's no more, this is the beginning, you know, we have time. No, like, this is when every win starts to matter. Your position within your conference starts to really shape out. So I was concerned. I was not happy. I was like, okay, yeah, no, this needs to change immediately. But there's some factors that obviously the Raptors have themselves in a bit of a stitch here that we could dive into. But, you know, I was unhappy. I'm never happy.
No, I think I'm with you. And that's really the Will Liu mentality, because we've established on the show that we're just never happy, in general. So OG Anunoby, Yuta Watanabe, Ken Birch were all out last night. And during the game, as everyone saw, Scotty Barnes exited briefly in the first half after re-injuring his thumb. Gary Trent Jr. left the game in the fourth quarter with left calf tightness. The Raptors once again gave up 60-plus points in the first half. This seems to just be a recurring theme now. And after the game, head coach Nick Nurse said, quote, "We've shown we can play some really good defense, and we've shown that if we're not fully engaged, that we cannot be so good defensively as well." Savannah, I mean, this is the number people have been bringing up. You know, heading into the Pacers game last night, the Raptors were ranked 7th on offense, but bottom 10 in defense. Where do you see the upside for defense? Is it just a matter of this team finally getting healthy?
Yeah, I think, well, health is a huge factor on this team, because if you look at the minutes played, like per player, the Raptors are leading the league. Like, Fred VanVleet is leading the league in minutes. So is OG Anunoby. He's right under Fred VanVleet. Scotty Barnes has the most minutes played as a rookie in his class. So, you know, it's hard to stay healthy when you're getting so much minutes. And it's not a bad thing in terms of experience for Scotty Barnes, but he's already surpassed his college minutes that he played in university in an NBA level. Like, how are you supposed to maintain a healthy balance, a healthy roster with rotation guys if your rotation guys are even getting injured and you can't plug and play them? And we're used to this, you know, kind of rough, kind of gritty style of defensive basketball that this team can bring. And they definitely are capable of it. We see it in moments like the Memphis Grizzlies game. But then it's hard to maintain that when you don't have the bodies.
No, definitely. And I think Sportsnet producer Chris Black actually pointed these numbers out, like you mentioned. In terms of minutes per game, Fred and OG are 1 and 2 right now, leading the league. Fred is averaging 38 minutes. OG, who's still injured, hopefully will be back tomorrow against Boston, is averaging 37.3 minutes. And then he made the point, too, at some point, do we draw any correlation between the Raptors and picking up these injuries? And I know every injury is very different, but the injuries versus you know, the heavy minutes load that Nick Nurse is putting on his players, like this is a concern for me going forward in terms of just finding that balance and not driving some of these players into the ground.
Absolutely, yeah. Like how are you supposed to maintain this level of play at this early in the season? Like there's still 75% of the season left. If you're, you know, playing your main guys, Fred VanVleet's leading the league in these like minutes, and so is OG, and also Gary Trent Jr. is also up there. He's in the top like 40, I think, for minutes played in a game as well. Like, how are you supposed to expect them to perform? And like Lord forbid that they get hurt or injured down the stretch even further. Or, you know, this is where I get very cautious with this team, because, you know, we know what they're capable of, but it does come down to the fact that there's also not a whole lot of bench options to like replace the guys that are like the starters. Like the bench were not performing as they should have been like the past couple of games, to be honest. Like we see it in here and there. Precious Achiuwa has been stepping up lately, which I love to see, but you know, that has to be consistent throughout the entire bench. Like Chris Boucher, same thing. Like, you know, he didn't even have a bad game last night, but it's just not the numbers that the starters are giving you. So it's hard to replace the guys that are performing at such a high level. Like, and if I was Nick Nurse, like that's kind of a bind that you found yourself in, because how are you expect to replace Fred VanVleet when he needs rest? Like, can you rest Fred VanVleet and like not lose? Like, it's hard. Like, you know, we love Delano, but Delano's still a rookie. You know, he's still learning a lot. And like, there, and even then, I feel like lately he's been a little inconsistent with his production. So it's kind of a hard look in the mirror, but this is, as it is right now, like this is not the formula to win consistently.
No, definitely. And I think that's why you see all this inconsistency kind of show up, especially across the 6 games on this road trip. And you mentioned Fred. I think a really telling sequence last night was when he picked up his third foul and then came back on the other end, on the defensive end, and got called for his fourth foul there in the third quarter. And Nick had to challenge, and the call was eventually reversed, because that's just how important Fred was. Like, I think if Fred had to pick up his fourth foul right there and had to check out, that would have been the game right there. And, you know, I think it's great that Fred is playing so well this season and he is so integral to the team's success. But asking him to kind of carry this load, I mean, last night was 38 minutes. He had 26 points, 5 rebounds and 4 assists. Like, they need more, and they need more from that second unit. 15 points from the entire bench unit. And, you know, I thought Will Liu in his 10 things, you know, everybody should definitely read Will's 10 things after every game, made a really good point, is that two bench players that you expected to contribute coming into the season have provided nothing. And he was referring to Goran Dragic, who is playing about like once a month right now. I think the last time he played was when Fred was hurt, actually, and he had to make an emergency start against the Detroit Pistons. And the other player, like you mentioned, is Chris Boucher, who has had a very disappointing season. And I think when you throw in injuries and you throw in the fact that these two have contributed next to nothing, I think those are a lot of your problems right there, Savannah.
Absolutely. And you look at, like, I know I'm just pulled up the stats right now because I'm making sure I'm not going crazy, but Martin on the Pacers, he came off the bench, had 23 minutes, plus minus plus 20, 15 points. He outscored the entire Toronto Raptors bench right there. And like, you have one guy off the Pacers bench outscoring the entire Raptors bench. Like, that's very telling. And, you know, Alex, it goes to like the bigger question that we've been talking about, and like, no more friendly Sav, yo. This is going to be Sav real talks. We talk about the versatile basketball.
Friendly Sav only shows up 2 to 3 p.m. Monday to Friday when we're actually just having fun.
Exactly. This is real talk Sav now. This is the weekend on a Saturday morning Sav. No, like, we talk about versatile basketball, and for the longest time, I was giving Nick Nurse and the front office and everybody like the benefit of the doubt. Listen, this could potentially work. Like, maybe we don't need a big, maybe we don't need a center. And I still think it could potentially work if everybody's healthy and everybody's contributing equally. Like it's almost like this theory of, if you're going to do something new, make sure everybody is like effective within that system, because you can't have lapses. Like you're going to have a second string that's very strong with that same versatility, everyone's OG Anunoby type bodies. And like, if you're going to make it succeed. But if you're not, if people can't give you that consistency, then you have to do that. You have to bring a traditional center in, because you can't get outscored in the paint or allow Sabonis to grab 18 rebounds on you. Like that's
yeah,
not okay.
So some of the stats before I let you go on this real talk.
Tangent?
Savannah. Yeah, you got me shook right now. I might need another glass of eggnog. The Raptors gave up 60 points in the paint to the Pacers last night. They were out-rebounded 53-41. And you mentioned Domantas Sabonis. He had 18 total rebounds, 7 offensive rebounds himself. The Raptors gave up 17 offensive rebounds total. You can see in these games, and we've seen it throughout on this road trip, and I'm having flashbacks to, like, I mean, even like Hassan Whiteside on Utah, just like dominating us for stretches. And you saw that last night with the Indiana Bigs too. I mean, coming into the season, I was like, I think I was kind of like you. I was kind of friendly, Sav. I was like, let's see how this plays out. I think that they still got enough length and talent on this team, even without a traditional center, to be able to overcome some of these concerns. But it is getting to the point where the Raptors are just straight up losing games because they don't have any kind of resistance in the paint.
No, exactly. Let's go back to the Utah Jazz game, as you mentioned. Like, Rudy Gobert having a heyday also, like 11 rebounds, 14 points, kind of getting anything he wants. Like, that's what it goes back to. On paper, I think, and I did say this, I believe, at the start of the season, on paper, this is a really great bench, on paper. But when you're not productive, when you're not equally contributing, and it's ineffective, and a part of it is the injuries, a part of it is the lack of experience and the youth, because I'll give them that. This is a very young team still. You're just not going to be as effective. If this team was aged, let's say give them 3 more years, like everybody just magically aged 3 more years of NBA experience, this could potentially be a whole different team. This could potentially be a lot more of a consistent team, especially with the bench developing. But as it stands right now, like, it's so hard to get away with this style of basketball if they're not all equally coming out every single night and having consistent reps. Like, you can't. It's essentially, it's you're asking too much from a team that has little experience, and just simply put, they're still learning so much. Like, Scottie Barnes is it's bad. I think I saw a tweet that's like, you know, the night is not good when our success hinges on like Scottie Barnes and Pascal Siakam having a good night. Like, yeah. I was like, yeah, like, a rookie should never ever have to like really carry all of that weight right away when he enters the league. Like, it should not hinge the success of the team. He just should be the best addition to it. But yeah, it's bad when you have to like look at, oh, did Scottie Barnes play well? Like, what? Yeah. I don't know, man. It's not good.
Damn. lots of frustration today. I like the energy, you know, because
this is a safe space.
No, it is. But I usually wake up on a Saturday, and you know, I'm usually pretty laid back as it is. I'm even more laid back on weekends. But now you got me charged up. But I do think it's kind of like a philosophical question too. Then, right? Like because the Raptors want to play this way, like as a franchise, they want to build a roster this way with the versatility and all the buzzwords that we've heard. But I do feel like we're reaching a point where we. You know, maybe it's too much on some of these players, especially when there's not a fully healthy roster. And you mentioned Scotty, and I do want to talk about Scotty. He was a bright spot last night, you know, exited with a thumb injury, came back in the second half, finished with 17 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. And again, he's done this throughout his rookie season so far, where during the game, and I think it usually happens in the second half, usually in the third quarter, he has stretches where it just seems like he's the best player on the floor. Like he's just taking over with his playmaking, with his strength. Like, there was one play where he just totally bodied Domantas Sabonis at the basket. I mean, I think that's the bright side for me. I know there's been a lot of frustration this first quarter of the season, but I always remind myself, and like you kind of reminded yourself just now, talking about how, you know, imagine if we could flash forward 3 years, this team could be really good. This is early in the development process, and especially early for Scotty, but he is always flashing this superstar potential here and there. And for me, like, that does give me comfort, especially when they lose games like last night.
Oh, look at you. You're the friendly sap today.
I'm always friendly. I'm always chill. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, sure. Sure.
Ask Will. Ask Will. Will will vouch for me. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I'll ask Will next time. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I could talk about Scottie Barnes all day and how I am just absolutely floored with his level of skill and just how great of a basketball player he is for his age. Like, he's still a child to me. Like, he's so young in this league. And, like, absolutely. Do I still think he could get Rookie of the Year? Absolutely. Like, you know, obviously some other names have been floated out there, but he's just – he's – it's crazy because, like I said, like – If your team's success depends on one of your rookies, how good is your rookie? Like, it says so much about him.
How good is your team?
That's the flip side. but you know, you bring up like the larger philosophical question, and I mean, it's a quarter way in the season. It's like, what do you do from here? Because clearly what you have right now isn't quite working the way that we thought. Do you ride it out for the season and try to add pieces later or halfway through? Or like, it's kind of, you know, you kind of got the test sample of where this is going, what the projection is. And it's hard to maintain people being healthy because just the amount of minutes that everybody's consistently playing. And also, we got to do some more yoga in practice, guys.
I love how you're pushing this yoga agenda. This is the second straight show that Savannah's been pushing the yoga in practice.
I tell you, it's great. Hot yoga is great. Like, it's good for the mind, body, and soul. I would definitely have to take a hard look in the mirror of what the pieces that they have right now and what the season goal is going to be. Like, are you really realistically going to win a championship right now? Probably not. Are you like, is the goal making the playoffs? Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe you could make it. Right. But like right now, they're what, the 12th seed in the East? Like, and it's not going super well. So unless we get, you know, everybody back and healthy and they stay healthy for a good month and a half to 2 months, I don't know about the trajectory here.
For sure. And I think that's the next conversation that's going to happen, because we are pretty far into the season, at least further than, you know, it just feels like the first quarter has just zipped past us. But this upcoming stretch, they're home now, and, you know, they've got the 7-game homestand. They've got 10 of 11 of the next 11 at home. And when you're looking at the schedule, I mean, Boston's a 500 team that they're playing tomorrow. Memphis, you know, dealing with the Ja Morant injury, get well soon, Ja. They've got Washington, who got off to a really fast start, but struggling a little bit of late. OKC, a team not trying to win games. Sacramento, like, this homestand, these 7 games, like, I'm not trying to put all the utmost importance on it, because like you mentioned, they're not pursuing a championship this season. They might not even be looking to make the playoffs. You know, maybe they want to get back in the draft, but they got to go like 5-2 or something like that on this homestand, because otherwise, if they keep falling like this in the standings, you're right, like, they're gonna have to make some decisions about what they actually want to do with this season.
Yeah, absolutely. This next coming stretch will be very definitive, especially because you're at home. But the sad thing is that we both know is that they're home games have, for some reason, not translated into as many wins.
They're turning around.
Road.
They're turning around. I'm sick of it. Okay, they're going to start winning. This. Yeah, this is going to be the real return to Toronto, this 7-game homestand. Like this is the real return. I don't want to hear about opening night against the Wizards, which was a terrible game. You know, the only highlight, as I keep mentioning, was Lupe Fiasco performing 2 songs at halftime.
Oh, so, my gosh.
Yeah. Savannah, I'm telling you right now, 5-2 on this. On this homestand, I'm saying it with such little confidence, but I'm just gonna say it anyways.
5-2, 5-2. We got Celtics, Grizzlies, Bucks. Wizards,
it's doable when you look at the
Thunder,
schedule. I'm telling you,
Knicks.
There's
so
a lot of
winnable
games.
Who are gonna drop the games to? Who are we gonna lose to?
I'll say Milwaukee and maybe either the Knicks or the Celtics.
Okay, yeah, I have Knicks. I think that's a tough team. Oh, man, yeah. Even the Wizards.
I know, but you're a home team, and presumably you're getting OG Anunoby back. And, you know, Utah Watanabe was only out last night. not because he re-aggravated his injury. It was more of a load management situation after he came back, and they're trying to ease him along. So you're going to get those two back. A little bit concerned about Kem with the right knee swelling, but yeah. We'll see. Like, again, I think it's just drawing a line between, because we keep saying, okay, let's see what they do when they're fully healthy. But just because you don't have everybody on your roster doesn't mean you can't go out there and play hard and play defense. And Pascal said this last night after the game. He said, quote, "We've got to be that team that plays hard every night. And when we don't do that, if we don't play harder than the other team, it's tough to win." And that's just the reality for the Raptors.
I just got a flash of Coach Carter there. Like, I got chills.
Wow.
Like, you made me want to tie back up my laces and be like, you know, I might not be as good as I once was, but I can play hard.
This is what I'm saying, man. This is what I'm saying.
Alex, you too can play hard.
No, this is what I'm saying. If the Raptors had Will and I in the locker room, just, you know, I'll do the pregame speech, okay? Savannah, yes. you run the yoga, okay? We're going to hire you on the staff as well. You run the yoga and practice. I'll give my inspiring pregame speech, and we'll save Will Lou for halftime to yell at them when they give up 60 points. Like, I think that's actually the perfect formula. If that happened, I bet you the Raptors would be in fourth in the East right now, is all I'm saying.
You're right. It's the perfect formula for disaster. Wow. I agree.
I love how I just spent 5 minutes setting up this whole scenario, including you being part of the Raptors staff, and you basically said, no, the idea is trash. All right, fine.
Just
note
because
it.
I push note for yoga it. Doesn't mean note I actually it. Know how to do yoga myself.
All right, that's it.
I'm not graceful.
All right, I'm going to message your twin sister more quizzes after the break. But listen, so there's also a lot of talk when everyone is healthy about who's going to the bench, right? And I think if people want Kem, a more traditional center in the starting lineup, then it might be a conversation of whether Gary or Scotty goes to the bench. Do you think in general sending someone like Scotty, who's been playing really well as a rookie, like we talked about, can that affect a rookie's confidence if you say, hey, here, take this second unit role instead?
Absolutely. You know the biggest example of this? Malachi Flynn.
He is actually the most extreme example.
Yeah, this guy was, dude, people forget that Malachi Flynn was the Eastern Conference Rookie of the Month of April last season.
Wow. And like, that's a deep pull. This is Malachi Flynn propaganda right now.
This is Malachi Flynn propaganda.
I respect
and
it.
And now, like, he's not playing. Well, when he does get minutes, he is making the most out of him. Like, shout out to him. But he just doesn't quite. He's not confident anymore. He's not as confident, I guess I should say.
He's playing like someone who knows he's one bad play from being pulled from the game.
Exactly.
It is the impression that I get watching him.
Yeah, I feel for him, yo. Like, I'm like looking at the bench, like looking at Nick Nurse myself. Like, is he gonna pull him off? Like I can feel it. Like every free throw that gets called, you know, that's when like the major subs come in, right? I'd be looking over my shoulder, looking at Nick Nurse, like, am I still allowed to play? Like, can I still shoot? No. Okay. Sub me off. So like, I don't know. I feel for him. It's so hard to play when you're looking over your shoulder. So, you know, I don't think that would be a good move for Scotty Barnes to go into the bench, because once again, he's like a huge contributing factor to this team. And not to mention, like, I do believe in like earning your spot, earning your keep essentially. And Scotty Barnes has more than earned his spot to start on this team. You know, Gary Trent Jr. obviously is him too. Like, he's been great, but I do think that like Scotty overall is on a night to night basis more effective. Gary has highs and lows, I find. Like, he has one really great night, and then the next one's not so great, or maybe it's average. But Scotty's usually pretty, you know what you're going to get. At the very least, you're going to get great defense and great energy on the court. Also, going to Utah Watanabe, he's the best. It was so good to see him come out and play. Like, he was the glue that this team really needed. And I'm not saying that he's going to be the difference maker, but he definitely does make a difference on this team when he's on the floor.
Yeah, no, he provides so much stability. You know, I think the Raptors right now, it's a low bar for what they're getting from their second unit. So I think even just bringing consistency on a nightly basis, and if it's just the hustle plays, if it's just the defense, which is the key parts to Utah's game on a night-to-night basis, like, they need that right now. Like a bench that's scoring 15 total points. I still can't get over that.
Getting 15 outscored by total points. One player. on the other person's bench.
Yeah. A player, no offense to Caleb Martin. Like, I've never heard of him. So, you know, it's tough, but listen, they're going to bounce back. All right. 7-game homestand. I'm feeling positive until they lose tomorrow. No, they won't lose. All right. Listen. You know, what's up?
Wait, real quick. You know why you're optimistic? Did you have coffee this morning?
No, I had eggnog.
Yeah. We had eggnog. Okay. See, I'm just starting to drink my coffee now. And so I think as the show goes on, I'll get happier. But that's why. It's just kind of pre-Sav coffee moment.
No, I respect it. I love how we've met 4 different Savs in the first 25 minutes. It's really good to know you have 6 different personalities going. Yeah, 6 different personalities going. You were really angry there for a second. All right, I think that's a good spot for us to take a 5-minute break. I'm your host, Alex Wong. You're listening to the weekend edition of The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. When we come back, I'll continue my conversation with Savannah Hamilton, and later I'll be joined by Sports Illustrated's Michael Pina to preview tomorrow's Raptors-Celtics matchup. Welcome back to the weekend edition of The Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Alex Wong, still joined by Raptors 905 sideline reporter and host of Raptors Today, Savannah Hamilton. Savannah, which personality are you bringing to this second segment here?
I think Savannah has had enough coffee now, so probably a more friendly Sav. Yeah, we'll pull her out of the closet.
Referring to yourself in the third person is just a ridiculous concept, but I totally respect it because I do it all the time as well. Anyway, so Alex, the host of the show, is going to ask you 5 questions. So are you ready to answer these 5 ridiculous questions?
I'm so ready for this. This is the best part of the show.
All right. So what? Not the Raptors? Subscribe to the Raptor Show for Raptors coverage. So Iman Shumpert became the first NBA star to win Dancing with the Stars on the most recent season of the show. I don't know if you watched any of the clips, Savannah, but like he killed it.
I seen a little bit. I'm just impressed. Hey, maybe it's that NBA footwork. Haha, joke. But, you know, I was like, yo, anybody that could dance, let alone be, I don't know how tall he is off the top of my head, but he's definitely pretty tall. Anybody could dance that's tall, like shout out to you for the coordination. So I'm impressed. I was very impressed.
Yeah. So first question for you, would you participate in Dancing with the Stars if you were invited?
Absolutely not.
This is a nervous laugh. All right.
Absolutely not. I'm not trying to embarrass myself. They don't give me enough time to prepare for the final dance. Like I would need like a year to learn like one choreography. So I don't think it's going to work out, but I don't know. Would you?
Definitely not. I can't dance. I can't sing. I don't have any marketable skills. I'm barely trying to get by, just hosting and co-hosting radio shows at the moment. But you know, I think if I were to go on a show, I think I would go on a show like Big Brother. Like if we're talking about like reality shows and things like that, I think I would do really good on Big Brother.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I could see that. No, I'll give you that. Would you win? Maybe.
I don't know if I would win. I think I would do really well, like just from a social standpoint, just, you know, making alliances with people and backstabbing people. Apparently these are my skills that I'm just exposing on air right now. You know, I'm just great at betraying people, I guess. No, but I always like the concept. Like I always wanted to try something like a Survivor or a Big Brother. I think it'd be a really cool experience. I would not win. I would finish 5th. And then become a clout chaser and use that and just become a former reality star who you see like kind of show up across different shows and platforms that nobody watches.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So that's Instagram that's my influencer. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, secure the bag.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad we've laid out my career path as I enter my 40s. Anyways, nice. Second question. Charles Barkley recently was asked who he would like to meet in terms of celebrities and music artists, and he said that he's met so many people and no one should be surprised because it's Charles. He's met Denzel Washington, he's met Dr. Dre, he's met Snoop Dogg, but he said, quote, I like to meet Eminem. I'm a big fan of his. I'm guessing Eminem is not your pick, Savannah, but is there a music artist or celebrity you would love to meet?
Oh, I was actually really surprised that he hasn't met him, but now that he said that he hasn't met him, you know he's gonna meet him now. So
Definitely being coordinated. Like, you know, celebrities just do name drops and things happen.
Exactly. No, I would love to meet Rihanna. Aha.
That's a really good choice.
Right? Like, she's so cool. Yeah. Like, of course, like the singer and the music side, but she's a businesswoman. Like, I would love to pick her mind on like how she secures the bag, stays independent, and is just like a whole all-round person. She's all body positivity. She's really opened up the lingerie market for like other women, of like, you know, making sure that everybody's included into like a bigger conversation of what a beauty standard is. So like, she's just like somebody that I really, really, I don't say look up to, but like just have admiration in the fact that she's changed the perception of what it should be like to be, you know, strong, independent woman. So I think I would love to meet her. What about you? Who would you like to meet?
I would go with Jamie Foxx, actually. I've always just respected Jamie Foxx because I feel like he's just so talented in so many different areas. And he's just someone that I just like respect a lot. And, you know, but I guess this is the follow-up question for you. 500,000 or dinner with Rihanna, Savannah?
I mean, let's be honest, $500,000 goes a long way.
for those that unless don't know, Rihanna, this is like a Twitter meme that has just exploded, that people just ask each other whether you would take $500,000 or have dinner with Jay-Z, because I guess the theory is if you go to dinner with Jay-Z, you could pick his brain and he could give you business savvy to the point where you could make more than that, which is ridiculous.
Which is pretty, it's pretty weird. Because, like, even
what's Jay-Z gonna tell you? What's Jay-Z gonna tell you?
Even if he does tell you how to become a millionaire, you know how much lazy people would not put that into practice? You gotta wake up at 5 a.m., you gotta check the cryptocurrency markets, you have to do this and this and this, and like make sure your stocks are. No one's doing that. So, like, take the $500,000.
We got Wall Street Sav now. This is like your seventh personality. This is ridiculous right now.
Keep track.
No, the over-under is 8.5 right now. Next question. Giannis Antetokounmpo recently revealed that he finally dunked his Oreos in milk for the first time. And when he was asked about it, he said that this is going to be part of his regular meal routine, snack routine going forward. Savannah, I want to know, growing up, did you have a favorite snack or a guilty pleasure when it came to food that was hard for you to ever say no to?
I mean, I feel like you uncovered it in the last show, Big Turk.
Oh yeah, the Big Turk chocolate. Big Turk, sponsor the pod, man. Let's get this done. Yeah, be the first chocolate bar to sponsor a Raptor show. How about that? Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, mac and cheese was always a good go-to. Like, but you only have to have the mac and cheese when it's fresh off the stove, because after that, when it gets like cold, or you, Lord forbid, put it in the fridge for leftovers for tomorrow. Like,
oh man, I'm so bad. I'm revealing myself as a disgusting person right now, because I love the leftover. I love the day old, the real cold mac and cheese. I like really cold everything, like pizza too. I think pizza's better the day after. So,
that's desperation food.
Anyways, catch me on Big Brother. I think I'm heading there soon. Speaking of food, Fred VanVleet, no surprise, another sponsorship, has partnered with DoorDash to host a 5-part restaurant docuseries called Made for This, which is on YouTube now. And what he's doing is taking viewers to restaurants across Canada, in Toronto, in Calgary, in Vancouver. It's a super cool initiative to highlight small businesses. Savannah, I want to know, if you had your own YouTube series, which Toronto restaurant would you spotlight for the first episode?
You know, I would have to spotlight Rasta Pasta from Kensington Market.
That's a great pick.
Yeah, it's so good. It has changed my life. So
yeah,
I think the owners, I've met the owners. Like, literally, one owner is Jamaican, the other one is Italian, and, like, they're a couple, they're really cute, and, like, it's just, they literally took their backgrounds and created a fusion of food between the two, and it's like, we all love Italian food, and we all love Caribbean food, and the two of them put together, are you kidding me? It's amazing. What about you? What would you choose?
Man, what would I choose? You know what? I'm always looking to spotlight places in Chinatown. So probably Hong Kong Island Chinese Bakery. So it's a really good bakery spot. It's got your sweets. It's got your savory. Like it's got great options, great prices, and all of that. So I would definitely do a spotlight in Chinatown. Lastly,
I have to go there.
Yeah, no. We'll go since okay. We're friends now. So you're like sick. Yeah, just message me. I'll let you know. Lastly, Savannah, I need to know, do UFOs and aliens exist?
So first of all, the definition of UFO is unidentified objects.
Wow, you're gonna go technical on me. I hate this already.
So with that in mind, right. There's tons of unidentified objects in the sky that we don't know. Yep. We've seen footage of them, so absolutely. And also alien is just something that we just don't know. So it's like alien could be like, I don't know, a bacteria for all we care. And like, I don't know.
This is getting too technical and scientific for me. I just want people to be like, yeah, man, the universe is so big. There's we definitely cannot be the only people out there. So that was the answer I was looking for, Savannah. All right.
Not the scientific technical out. Yeah.
No. You're going all X-Files on me, man.
The X-File music.
No, it's honestly messing me up. So your answer is yes?
Yes. Or yes, okay. Absolutely. Okay. I think it would be dumb to think that, like, well, you can't be dumb, but like you'd be irrational to think that, you know, the witch elite, it's like, you know, because I have like a saying. I talked to my brother, I was like, it's Sav's world, you're just living in it. Because imagine it's just Earth and you're just in the galaxy of it. It's the same thing. It's like there's probably other stuff out there. I don't know. What do you
That's
think?
That's what I'm
you
saying.
You have to agree with me on this.
No, of course. I don't know why I've been asking every Toronto media member this. Eventually, there's some kind of grand purpose, I think. But it's just a question I've been throwing out there. There we go.
Yes. There it
Finally.
Is.
Shout outs to producer Derek. We should have done our whole first segment on the Raptors with this music in the back. We are investigating why the Raptors are such a mediocre team this season.
Length.
Yeah, versatility. Yeah, but listen, Savannah, I always appreciate you making the time to come on, and you know, spoilers, Savannah will be joining us next Thursday on the Raptor Show from 2 to 3 p.m. She is a very popular and recurring guest, and we always appreciate her time. Thank you, Savannah. Hope you have a great rest of the weekend.
I appreciate you having me, and you'll definitely have Sav after coffee in that show.
Yeah, we'll have the 9th Sav personality of the week. So thank you, Savannah. Please go have a big turk and an eggnog, and have a great rest of the weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah. So the Raptors are playing the Boston Celtics tomorrow to open up the 7-game homestand that we talked about, and to preview the game, I thought I'd have my friend and Sports Illustrated's Michael Pina, one of the best writers, one of the best basketball minds in the game, join me. Michael Pina, what's up, man? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Alex, how are you doing, man? I thought that X-Files music was my intro song, and I was getting very hyped. So my day there, if we can just pretend that's what happened.
There we go. Our producer Derek is great with that stuff. He's always taking requests. You know, the mystery I want to figure out today is the Boston Celtics. So they're 10-10 after losing in San Antonio last night. What is the general vibe of the Celtics fan base right now? I get the sense that this feels like they're underachieving so far. Am I wrong?
I think that would be fair. Although, I mean, in reality, I was pretty high on this team coming into the season. I thought that they could finish with the top three seed, the third seed in the Eastern Conference. And right now they just look very average. Despite some pretty good play from players who, you know, Al Horford looks really spry. Dennis Schroeder has been kind of an unsung hero. There's been a few others on the team. Grant Williams has stepped up big, but like fundamentally, they're just a very average team, a very unreliable team. They don't move the ball particularly well. The defense is very good when everyone's locked in and when everyone's healthy. And that just hasn't been the case for too long this season. And the offense is kind of atrocious. And Jason Tatum is one of the more frustrating players in the entire NBA. So I think that, like, if you said that they were not kind of living up to their potential, that would be semi-accurate. But I think this might just be kind of like an average basketball team this season.
Yeah, you know, I was having the same conversation the first time with Savannah about the Raptors. It's interesting what you mentioned about Jason Tatum. You know, when I'm just looking at the stats, I mean, he's averaging 25 points and 8.6 rebounds in 20 games this season. Tell the listeners a little bit more about why it's been kind of a frustrating season, maybe, watching him.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers, the per-game numbers, I think are there. He's, when you just kind of watch him, he's the prototypical wing that you want to build a basketball team around. And the fundamental decision making is just kind of, it's kind of all over the place, and he's not really developing in that way that Boston really needs. The shot selection is pretty disappointing, I would say, and the shot making off of those decisions has been historically bad. If you look at all the players in NBA history who've ever averaged at least 20 shots a game, he's having one of the worst, least efficient seasons ever from that perspective. So it's kind of like this push and pull where he's kind of headed in the wrong direction efficiency wise as his volume goes up and as his responsibilities go up. And I don't know how much of that is on him and the fact that, you know, he's been in the league for quite a bit of time. Even though he's only 23 years old, he's had experience in the playoffs. He's been a go-to option on a team that's gone to the conference finals. But then you kind of look at the talent drain in Boston over the past few seasons, and you look at who is around him right now and how those players don't necessarily kind of accentuate what Jason Tatum's really good at. And you see Jason Tatum in situations where he's forced to kind of take those bad shots. So it's this really difficult thing to kind of parse right now. And I go back and forth myself, just looking at the numbers and watching him play. I don't know if it's him kind of stalling out or if it's really the Celtics and just kind of an indictment of their ability to build a quality team around him right now.
Yeah, and I think that leads to the bigger questions. And I don't know, you know, people on Twitter and, you know, we always joke about people always marveling at how young Jason Tatum is, but he is still only 23. And, you know, the other player, the second most important player on this team, Jaylen Brown, is 25. When you look at that duo, like, what are your thoughts on whether, you know, as the way the roster is currently constructed, like, what the Celtics can do to put a better team around him, around the two of them? Or will it reach a point where maybe the conversation of trading Jaylen Brown to get those other assets back becomes more realistic? What are your thoughts about the future of those two in Boston?
You know, I don't want to say that those two are the problem. I think that that's what a lot of people look to when trying to diagnose why the Celtics have been so inconsistent. Like, I think almost any team in the entire NBA, a vast majority of them would say if they had Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as their two best players, they'd be jumping up and down for joy. Like, these are 2'7", 6'8" wings. Play both ends of the floor extremely well, can shoot the three, can shoot the mid-range, can create for themselves, have a little bit of difficulty creating for others and making others around them better. But Tatum is still pretty young, and I don't even think that that part of his game was necessarily expected to develop this soon. And Jaylen just might not – that just might not be who he ever is, and that's fine. Like, I think that he's kind of more of an exclamation point on a possession than – a setup guy, and not everyone can be the playmaker. Not everyone can develop like Kawhi Leonard did or be LeBron James at that size or be Luka Doncic. So I think, like, from that perspective, I don't want to be too critical of those two, but then, like, you got to put players around them who are really great passers, who are really selfless, who can defend, who can shoot, who are lights out shooters, who can shoot off the move. And that's where I think that this team is really struggling. Like, you, the spot up 3-point shooters when Tatum comes off the screen are like, you know, Marcus Smart and Josh Richardson and Romeo Langford, and Aaron Nesmith is like in and out of the rotation. Peyton Pritchard's basically out of the rotation. So like, I think that it's really difficult to look at the future and know where they're going. I know they have a lot of, they're going to have a lot of flexibility financially after getting off of the Kemba Walker contract. And they have some interesting trade chips. You know, Robert Williams, I think, is someone who could command something. Marcus Smart's contract is pretty good, and he's having an okay season. And then they extended Josh Richardson in the offseason as well. So they have some money to move around this summer, or maybe even before the trade deadline. But, like, fundamentally, it kind of goes back for me, like, the past few drafts and just swings and misses. And it's like, they have Peyton Pritchard. They have Romeo Langford. They have Aaron Nesmith. Like, they could have had Sadiq Bey. They could have had Desmond Bain. They wanted Carson Edwards instead of Matisse Thybulle a few years ago. Like, looking at this roster with those players and those names on it, I think it's a completely different story right now. And so, like, for me, I just struggle. I go back and look at the past, and I sob about those decisions more than I kind of fret about where they're headed in the future, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, for sure. and the person making a lot of these decisions now, obviously Brad Stevens moved from his head coaching role into the front office after last season. I know it's pretty early in his tenure and his new role, but what are your early impressions so far of Brad Stevens as a general manager?
Yeah, I mean, it's too early to really have any opinion, I feel like. I mean, the trade, you know, one of the things that kind of frustrates me a little bit, but I totally understand it, was the need to move off of Kemba Walker's his contract. And in doing so, they gave up a first-round pick in this past draft. And this past draft basically looks like the greatest draft since, like, I don't even, like, 2003. It's like just an absolute like gorging of talent. I mean, you look at Toronto Raptors, Scottie Barnes, everybody, that's just one example. There's countless players who have entered the league this past year who are rookies right now who are fantastic, and the Celtics do not have any of them. So that is kind of disappointing. But, you know, I think that the idea of trying to retain continuity and, as I said, extending Rob Williams, extending Marcus Smart's contract, extending Josh Richardson's deal, trying to forge some type of chemistry with these guys. I think it's early in the season. They could technically still work it out. And if everybody gets healthy and everybody kind of gets on the same page, there's still a lot of talent here. But beyond that, like, he hasn't really done too much in the few months that he's been on the job. So I think this coming off season, and maybe even you could say this coming trade deadline, there's going to be a lot of eyes on Brad Stevens. But so far, it's kind of hard to be too harsh either way with how you want to judge what he's done.
Yeah. What about new head coach Ime Udoka? Like, what have you seen so far this first quarter of the season?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, he, whenever he speaks publicly about the team, what he wants them to do, they're not doing. So that's, you know, not the greatest sign. I think that he's obviously widely respected. The players say great things about him. Opposing players say great things about him. The Celtics just lost to the Spurs, where Ime Udoka first started coaching under Greg Popovich, and Pop said a bunch of really nice things about Ime Udoka. I mean, he's just like a widely respected guy around the NBA. But yeah, like, he clearly wants the Celtics to move the ball and be less selfish. And you look at their assist rate and you watch them play through stretches, and that's just like clearly not what's going on. So, I don't know if he's necessarily getting through to them yet or what the issue is, but like, it would be wonderful if Jason Tatum kind of performed a little bit more to the became the Jason Tatum that I think Ime Udoka wants him to be. That would be terrific. and yeah. we haven't seen that yet.
No, for sure. Listen, awesome. Michael Pina, always appreciate your time. Make sure everybody check out his work at Sports Illustrated, and he recently wrote a great feature with Kevin Garnett at GQ. Michael, I'll talk to you soon. That does it for us for today. You've been listening to the weekend edition of the Raptor Show, powered by DoorDash on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I've been your host, Alex Wong. Make sure you subscribe to the Raptor Show wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again to Savannah and Michael for joining today's show, and to JR and Derek for helping produce the show today. I'll talk to you on Monday.